The Taliban, out of existential necessity or political convenience, would switch to our side. What were the plans and intentions of our Afghan allies? What was the status of their intelligence collection and military capabilities? How would tension between Afghan tribes hinder or help our efforts against AQ? Where were mosques, hospitals, schools, and other potential no-strike structures? Which Afghan businessmen would be effective partners in funneling humanitarian aid for covert action influence? What about the theocratic views of local clergy? What impact did the UAV Predator Hellfire shots have on the enemy? What logistics questions did the U.S. military need answered? What were the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps doing in Afghanistan? What about Pakistan's intelligence service? What would be the strategic impact within the region of the impending conflict in Afghanistan? Betsy also served as the key conduit for all reports coming from the field. She and her team checked for corroboration or contradiction. When needed, her staff added commentary to provide greater context or caveats to set parameters. Then they forwarded the reports to analysts, warfighters, diplomats, and policymakers all over the globe. Many of the reports also landed on the desks of our foreign allies, particularly those in the fight with us. British and Australian special forces were at the forefront. Betsy also guided the collection in the field, shooting question after question to diplomats and policymakers all over the globe. Many of the reports also landed on the desks of our foreign allies, particularly those in the fight with us. British and Australian special forces were at the forefront. Betsy also guided the collection in the field, shooting question after question to the teams. She and her unit worked to provide analysis and policy guidance, not only requirements, to the field. She understood that the field teams grasped the operational priorities better than anybody else, but a single team isolated in a valley needed to have a larger perspective, especially given their leadership mandate. Betsy gave them that view. Even with Burnson's and Betsy's teams, though, we needed more than the conventional flow of text and imagery intelligence. We needed a new level of geospatial intelligence so we could target the enemy with unprecedented precision. We had to recruit the Afghan people to our side, pry them away from AQ and the Taliban. We had to demonstrate our care for the Afghans by killing only their enemy. AQ, foreign forces, and those Taliban who refused to join our side. Killing Afghan civilians would be both morally reprehensible and strategically stupid. And we could not bomb mosques or hospitals. We needed to be exact in our collection and our employment of lethal force. The Magic Box. John and I agreed that we would initiate a separate, dedicated targeting unit. We asked the clandestine services human resources staff for help. They sent us an attorney. I don't want a lawyer, I want a tough analytical operational genius. Somebody who knows targeting. Somebody who knows technology. Somebody who can build a geospatial system so we hit the right targets. I don't want some lawyer parsing every word and dithering over every decision. I was pacing in my cramped office, taking three steps back and forth. Maybe I was searching for somebody who didn't exist. John calmly counseled. Well, let's meet the guy. Sometimes John was so reasonable, so responsible, it irritated me even more, but I usually got over it. Okay, okay, for fuck's sake, go get him. Dan walked into the office. Average height, trim, relaxed, neat and dapper, he looked like a successful attorney or investment banker. He was an attorney, he confessed. He was also an accomplished operations officer. John and I explained what we wanted, at least sort of. We were not sure what the system should look like or how it would function. We simply knew the mission required geospatial help. Give me a couple of days, Dan responded. John and I had no other options, and this guy was confident. We did not have time to hunt for somebody else. "Okay, get back to me," I ordered, while thinking that we didn't have a couple of days to spare. "Sure," Dan answered. He smiled easily. I thought he acted too mild-mannered, too relaxed. I just hoped that he understood what we needed. The problem was vexing. Given the constantly shifting, complex picture of the emerging battle space, we needed thousands of visual geospatial reference points. We needed a map, but not just any map. I wanted a map that we could update instantaneously. I wanted a dynamic, customized representation reflecting many shifting variables in any combination at any point in time. Variables included coordinates of friend and foe and much more: roads, airfields, mosques, stores, schools, hospitals, mountains, rivers, vegetation, political boundaries, tribal territories, and perhaps everything. I wanted to track our teams and our sources in real time. They would be dispersed throughout the country, even intermingled with enemy forces. I wanted to have this map supplemented by an imagery feed from all our collection platforms. As a boy, I had learned and practiced geospatial intelligence. I just didn't know what to call it at the time. Helping my father and his crew, surveying tracts and cruising timber in swamps and rolling Piedmont hills, maps were essential. I could read topographic maps and aerial photographs. I could plot and draft maps. In elementary school, I had memorized all the states in the Union, although once I mixed up Vermont and New Hampshire, on a quiz. That mistake irritated me, and in response I learned to identify all the world's countries on a blank map that I pasted on the wall of my bedroom. Years later, at the University of New Mexico, I pursued the subject, acing a course on aerial photography interpretation. I spent most of a hot summer tromping through the Rio Grande Valley south of Albuquerque, comparing my findings with aerial photography and other maps. Visual spatial representations, for me, were more than a tool. Maps reflected the way that I thought. Now I wanted a map that captured as much data as possible. As promised, Dan returned with an answer. "I have no background in this type of technology, the technology that you need, but I have found a guy," he explained.
"What guy?"
"A guy with a magic box."
"Well, we could use some magic. What does this guy in his box do?"
"He does GIS. That stands for Geographic Information Systems. It's a software product that pulls together all geo-coordinated information that we can display on a map. You can manage and analyze all this info through different display combinations, depending on what you want."
"Does it work, or is this some experimental thing?" I asked.
"It works. It's used all the time."
"Well, show it to me."
Dan tilted his head slightly, offered me a polite nod, and trotted off. A few minutes later, he brought back a tall, vigorous guy named Ken. Earlier, Dan had explained to Ken that CTC-SO was collecting intelligence from all over Afghanistan about both friend and foe. Soon, CTC-SO would have the U.S. Air Force Central Command's bombing encyclopedia. These lists of military targets include the geolocation, the delivery system, and the ordnance. After learning about the format of each data set and how it was provided, Ken believed that he could establish a GIS system that would ingest the data and map all the variables, including no-strike targets at risk on a particular bombing run. Ken could tap them into the CIA's map center for all types of maps. He would rely on CTS-SO for Afghanistan data to populate the system. When Ken asked about the switch from his current job to CTC-SO, Dan scribbled a phone number and said,
"You will be working for Hank Crumpton. If your boss has any questions, he can call this number. See you in 10 minutes. Now Dan and Ken were in my office. Casually dressed and bursting with energy, almost wild-eyed with anticipation, Ken stood in sharp contrast to the phlegmatic Dan. Ken explained his GIS plan. I did not understand how it worked, but I got the gist. And more important, Ken seemed to know what we needed. Ken's confidence and enthusiasm were palpable. I told him to get to work and let Dan know if he ran into any problems. Within 4 hours, Ken had his computers and the software licenses, and he was inputting data for our operations. A couple of days later, we would customize Ken's maps instantly. In response to questions, with a few keystrokes, Ken could display enemy positions with an overlay of all the roads in a particular province, followed by an overlay of our sources' exact geo-coordinates, with another overlay of a topographic map. The combinations of layers ran into the scores. Eventually, Ken and his team could calculate and display